National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Hold on, ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from the Air Force.
Yo! And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. Coming straight from the side, going down, Audio Shop Talk right in your ear hole, brought to you by your homeboy, your mother's boyfriend, Joseph Ward, representing Rickards High School all the way. And if you don't know, now you know. 3013, Jim Lee Road, get your mind right, because we got a good show today. Ooh, it's going down. But before I tell you how dying is going down, you already know that on that the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go through our African History Book Series, the African History Blog Series, the African History Curriculum App, the African History YouTube, or the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, as well as lectures, keynote speaking engagements, educational sessions, all those things, any capacity that you want, whether it's through digital media or whether it's face-to-face, your tablets, your smartphones, your smart boards, your smart TVs, anything you got, On the Shoulders of Giants can get our information to you. All you got to do is visit www.ontheshoulders1.com or www.ontheshoulders.org. That way you can get what you need, where you need, how you need, when you need. Because it's stay going down. You know what I'm talking about? So, hey, today we ain't playing with you. Go ahead and get to it. So, our HBCU spotlight is we have our SWAC Week 3 Players of the Week. You know, last week we gave you the MEAC Week 3. We gave you the MEAC Week 2 Players of the Week. This week, we give you the SWAC Week 3 Players of the Week. I'm sure most of you heard, but if you ain't heard, Vontae David retired from the NFL at halftime of the Buffalo Bills game. So I'm going to tell you what I think about that, because that shit funny to me. I ain't going to lie, that shit's funny. Antonio Brown tell the Steelers to trade him via Twitter. He said, you want to see trade me, because somebody talking that yang-yang in that front office. So he said, betrayed me then, bitch. Josh Gordon, remember last week I tell you that the Browns gonna let Josh Gordon go. They actually traded Josh Gordon to the Patriots for a fifth-round pick, and I'm mad at the goddamn Cowboys for not going after Josh Gordon, but we're going to talk about that. Urban Meyer is back as the coach of Ohio State, but people still looking at him like you a lying bitch. So, you know. Jimmy Butler requested the trade from the Timberwolves. He don't want to play with them boys no more. He said there's some fuck boys. We're going to give you an update of week two of the NFL, what's happening. Talk about a little tennis, because some of them soft-ass tennis umpires talking about they thinking about boycotting Serena Williams, her matches. And then more Serena Williams news, but this is Serena and Venus. An Australian football club issues an apology after their players dressed in blackface as Serena and Venus. And they thought that shit was funny. Weekly rant, we got two. Well, this is our Friday rant. We got two rants. A Texas superintendent says you can't count on black QBs, so I'm sure Buford's going to have something to say about that. And an LSU football player named Drake Davis is arrested for possession of child pornography and some domestic violence going up in there. So we got a lot of drama. We got the drama field show with a lot of fuck shit. And we got people who are representing the National Football Association of America and the International Football Union. Because apparently, fuckboys exist. Foreign and domestic, right? So we're going to talk about all of that, B, all of that. So let's go ahead and jump into our HBCU spotlight, and we aiming it at that SWAC conference HBCU football. So let's tell you about the SWAC week three players of the week. So starting with, let me read this. Alcorn State junior wide receiver Ray Darius Anderson, Alcorn State junior defensive back Javian Morrison, Jackson State senior kicker Christian Jackman, and Alabama State junior wide receiver Tyreek Allen were all named the Southwestern Athletic Conference Players of the Week for week three. So let's go through it. So Ray Darius Anderson is a junior wide receiver from Oakland, Tennessee. Anderson turned in a career game to lead the Braves to a 27-15 victory over Texas Southern. He caught 8 passes for a career high 168 yards, including a touchdown. Anderson more than doubled his previous career high of 80 yards set last season against McNeese State. He accounted for more than half of Alcorn's passing yards. So one time for Ray Darius and one time for his name, because, wow, Ray Darius. Is he a Raider? I don't know. So defense. So the defensive player of the week is Alcorn State's junior defensive back from Corinth, Mississippi, named Javian Morrison. Morrison shined defensively with 2 interceptions last Saturday in the 27-15 victory over Texas Southern. He accumulated 59 yards in reception returns and interception returns. He now has 8 career interceptions, and it was his first multi-interception game. Additionally, Morrison was a part of an Alcorn State defense that allowed the Tigers to score on one of just 3 red zone trips. The specialist of the week is Jackson State's Christian Jackman. He's a senior kicker from Miami, Florida, from down south, from the bottom. He converted 4-for-4 field goals, including the go-ahead 44-yard field goal at 10:22 in the fourth quarter and win against Florida A&M. Forget you, dog. 3 of the 4 attempts were from 40 yards or longer. The newcomer is Alabama State's Tyreek Allen, who's a junior wide receiver from San Antonio, Texas. Allen finished the night with a pair of catches for the Hornets, totaling 86 yards. The junior caught his second touchdown catch of the season, reeling in a 78-yard pass from Darrell Peterson, Jr., and outrunning the defense down the right sideline for a touchdown. The pass was the second 60-plus-yard reception, resulting in a touchdown for Allen this season. So Tyreek Allen, Christian Jackman, Javian Morrison, and Ray Darius Anderson. From here at the Fix Sports Podcast, to your HBCU, to you personally, we want to make sure that we give you a round of applause. So stand on up and get on your feet. Get them boys that round of applause that they need. Yeah. Yeah. Ballin'. We've been young 2020. Play ahead and get found. Stanky. Tyreek Allen, remember these names. Tyreek Allen, Christian Jackman, Javian Morrison, and Ray Darius. And you can't forget Ray Darius. You cannot forget Ray Darius. So, man, let's go ahead and jump straight into this drizama, right? So, Vontae David decided that he was going to quit the football at halftime versus the San Diego Chargers. So, let's read and then go in, okay? So, Buffalo Bills cornerback Vontae Davis abruptly retired at halftime of Sunday's 31-20 loss to the Los Angeles Chargers, saying in a statement later that the reality had hit him. The reality had hit him. I shouldn't be out here anymore. To my readily. He said the reality hit him that he shouldn't be out there no more. He's a 10-year veteran who said he meant no disrespect to his teammates and coaches, but that physically he could no longer play at the standard he set for himself. He pulled himself out of the game, Bills coach Sean McDermott said. He communicated to us that he was done. Linebacker Lorenzo Alexander alerted reporters to Davis's abrupt retirement after the game. He had never have seen it ever, Alexander said. Pop Warner High School, college pros, Never heard of it, never seen it. And it's just completely disrespectful to his teammates. He didn't say nothing to nobody. I found out going into the second half of the game, they said he's not coming out. He retired. That's it. After the game, Vontae Davis released a statement. So let's read this shit. This isn't how I pictured retiring from the NFL. Well, bitch, why you did it? Right? Well, motherfucker, who made you do that shit? Right? But in my 10th NFL season, I have been doing what my body has been programmed to do. Get ready to play on game day. I've been doing multiple surgeries and played through many different injuries throughout my career. And over the last few weeks, this was the latest physical challenge. But today on the field, reality hit me fast and hard. I shouldn't be out here anymore. I meant no disrespect to my teammates and coaches, but I hold myself to a standard. Mentally, I always expect myself to play at a high level. But physically, I know today that isn't possible, and I had an honest moment with myself. While I was on the field, I just didn't feel right, and I told coaches I'm not feeling like myself. I also wondered, do I want to keep sacrificing? And truthfully, I do not, because the season is long and it's more important for me and my family to walk away healthy than to willfully embrace the warrior mentality and limp away late. This was an overwhelming decision, but I am at peace with myself and my family. I choose to be grateful to God for allowing me to play the game that I have loved as a boy until I turn 30 years old. I choose to be grateful to God for being a part of the NFL and making lifelong friends over the last decade. Well, bitch, you just lost a lot of friends, right? There were roadblocks and pitfalls along the way, but I'm grateful to God for all of it because he doesn't promise any of us an easy journey. Yeah, you ain't making it easy for yourself. Like, I'm going to be straight up. I'm not mad at him, but this shit is funny, and I wouldn't have did it. Now, it ain't like no real dude shit. Because you just can't quit on your team at halftime. I'm not mad at him, though. I swear, I'm not mad at him. It's hilarious to me because I don't play for the Bills. If you play for the Bills or you're in the NFL, you like, man, this shit ain't funny, bro. This shit ain't funny, bro. But this shit, funny. Bro got beat out there. He got beat out there on that field and said, fuck it. I quit. I ain't playing football no more. I can't do this. I won't do this. I will not do this. Hey, coach, I ain't going back out there no more. That boy then out there did my ass. I ain't talking about nothing. I can't do this no more, coach. I'm done. I'm gone. Peace out. Wow. Like you don't do that. Like you really don't do that. But he did it anyway. And I mean, you know, as me right now, I don't really give a shit about that. But as a football person, as a sports person, as an athlete, that's some whole shit. If my teammate just gonna quit on me in the middle of the game, I mean, bro, you ain't no real teammate. You really ain't no real teammate if you gonna quit on me in the middle of the game. I can't take you in my foxhole when things go wrong. You know, I can't count on you. I really can't count on you, bro. So, deuces to your ass, boy. Deuces to your ass for that bullshit, because I don't know. But I'm not mad at him. I will continue to say that I am not mad at Vontae Davis for doing what he felt was right for him. I'm not mad at him for doing it. I'm not mad at for him how the way he did it. I just wouldn't did it. And do I think it's soft? Yes, I do think it's soft. But hey, you know. I understand about the physical toll. I understand all that stuff. Because football can't fuck your body up. But shit, bitch. Quit the photo game. You knew you ain't have it last week. You knew you ain't have it in the preseason. Bitch. You knew you ain't have it in the training camp. You probably knew you ain't have it last year. Right? When you were, I think he was with the Colts, maybe. I think he was with the Colts last year. Because in the retirement, his retirement picture is not of him in a Buffalo Bills uniform. It's of him in a Indianapolis Colts uniform. So, yeah, you're not walking away limping physically, but you're walking away limping mentally, emotionally, psychologically, and your reputation is not limp, it's paralyzed. I'm just going to put to you like that, Vontae. Like, that wasn't the greatest way to retire. I'm not mad at you. Do I think you did something wrong? No. Was it, like, soft? Yes. It is what it is, man, but drama in the world of sports today. Straight drama, and I found it all. We're going to talk about it. So, Vontae said, fuck this shit. I'm done. Nobody respects him for that. Let's just put that out there in the atmosphere. Nobody respects Vontae David for his decision to just abruptly quit football. Nobody respects him. He's seen as a bitch to the people in the NFL. So. I mean, you know, hey, man, you know what I'm saying? Vontae, dog, can't be doing that shit, dog. Ain't be doing that shit. That's funny. That's funny. It's hilarious. It's all hilarious, but I ain't mad at him. So, AB, Antonio Brown, get into it with, like, staff of the Pittsburgh Steelers on Twitter. So let's give you a little background information and come on up and then give you my thoughts. So, because the headline is trade me. Let's find out. And that's what Antonio Brown's reply on Twitter was. Right. So. And he was criticized. So Monday morning, Brown targeted Ryan Scarpino, a former Steelers. OK, so Scarpino ain't even with the Steelers no more. He a former Steelers public relations employee. Scarpino tweeted, AB needs to thank his lucky stars because he was drafted by a team that had Ben. And Ben got AB paid. You know darn well he couldn't put up those numbers for other teams. That's what Scarpino said. Brown caught wind of the tweet and responded with, trade me. Let's find out. Right? So, After this is following him being upset after or during the game this past Sunday when he was visibly upset on the sideline, and you can see him going back and forth with one of the coaches. So, and the coach's name is Randy Fitchner. Randy Fitchner is the name of this coach. Or he's the offensive coordinator, and they got into a little back and forth spat. You know what I'm saying? Antonio had 9 catches, 67 yards in the game, and it seemed like Antonio was visibly frustrated with the coach that I'm looking at the video now. So he was talking to him and the coach were going, it's one of them football sideline spats. And it, to me, it's something that they're blowing out of proportion. So, and I think, what the fuck was that name? Scarpino. That dude's name? Scarpino talking that fuck shit on Twitter. And, you know, AB already being frustrated, lashed out. Now, the stuff has been squashed because Monday, Antonio Brown also didn't show up to practice. So people are like, oh, shoot, Antonio Brown don't want to be a Steeler no more. He really want to get traded. But that ain't necessarily the full case. It was reported that Antonio Brown had other issues, and that's why he didn't show up to practice. Whatever. But those facts, you know, we got to see what happens later to see if that's really something. So now, from my understanding, Antonio Brown was disciplined by head coach Mike Tomlin, but Scarpino, you a bitch, man. Especially if you ain't even with the team no more. Talking about Big Ben got him paid. Man, that was a mutual fucking relationship. That was a mutual relationship because, I mean, Antonio Brown is a baller. Like, Antonio Brown really the best receiver in the league right now. Him, Julio, OBJ, AJ Green. No, they're the best receivers in the league. I know I'm probably forgetting somebody. But they're the best receivers in the league. And it's arguable that Antonio is number one, the best receiver in the league. So to suggest that Antonio Brown wouldn't put up these numbers with another quarterback to me is absurd, because I think Antonio Brown is one of those receivers who has it. I didn't think that years ago, but Antonio Brown's play has proven that to me and changed my mind over the years that Antonio Brown is a receiver that has that it factor. He's a legitimate number one receiver, right? Because remember when Big Ben was hurt and Brown was still out there balling? I'm just saying, Scarpino. But Scarpino, if you don't work for the Steelers no more, you need to shut the fuck up, though, bro. You a former public relations employee. Shut the fuck up, dog. Come on, thank you, lucky stars. Bitch, you need to thank your lucky stars that you was able to work for these teams, Scarpino. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Told y'all, man, this show got people from the National Football Association of America and the International Football Union. And Scarpino is definitely part of the National Football Association of America. See, that's the problem. Like, people got these podcasts, these Twitter accounts, the social media accounts, all these different ways to communicate. You got to understand certain stuff that you say and who you say it to. It might come with some consequences you ain't ready for. Scarpino going to hide behind that Twitter shit. Get his ass fucked up. It's all like, Scarpino, man, shut the fuck up, man. Oh, social media thug ass motherfucker, man. You ain't talking about shit, Scarpino. And see what the shit you started for a team you don't even work for no more? That man talking about trade me, let's find out. But we know damn well he ain't getting traded no time soon. We know damn well they're going to work that out, especially with Le'Veon being out as well. Man, please. AB know he got the leverage. Le'Veon ain't there. You can't control AB like that, because he know he good and he know he in his prime and any team will pick him up. Please. But they're going to work that out. So it's not. Antonio isn't mad at the Steelers. It ain't no beef with the Steelers and all that stuff. The spat that he had with the offensive coordinator is just what it is, a spat. So, yeah, man, Randy Fitchner, they all good. Everything good. It was a sideline spat. Coaches and players have that. Coaches have that. Of course, you know, the media blows it out of proportion because it's Antonio Brown, and he's elaborate and not flamboyant in the sense of, you know, homosexual or anything, but kind of out there flamboyant in his personal style and those things. So, AB, but AB back his shit up on the field. Don't nobody got no problem with AB because he back it up. And AB ain't no bad dude. He do some crazy stuff sometimes, some dumb shit that he ain't supposed to be doing. Sometimes he talk too much sometimes. I will admit, in this case, I ain't mad at him for lashing out at Scarpino. Scarpino, how about you shut the fuck up? How about that? Yeah. So, hey man, AB, go out there and ball out Sunday. Fuck the mother. Fuck Scarbrino. Fuck the mother Scarbrino. Bitch ass Scarbrino. So, in other football news, Josh Gordon is now a New England Patriot, and I'm mad because Josh Gordon is supposed to be a Dallas Cowboy. But Jerry Jones on that bullshit. Jerry Jones ain't trying to go get him. New England Patriots got him from Cleveland for a fifth round pick. So while the league has been abuzz with the news of Josh Gordon trade to New England, it wasn't official until Tuesday afternoon, according to the NFL's transaction wire. Gordon is now an official Patriot. So he passed the physical and trades official. While it was all but official as of yesterday, Gordon still needed to come to Foxborough and pass his physical and his drug test, and he's going to get a whole lot of them, and we know he got a short leash, right? He has now done that, meaning that a hamstring issue, if it exists, is minor enough that a trade can go through. It also presumably means that there's no secret test that Gordon failed and no one knows about it. The trade wouldn't have gone through if that was the case, right? So he ain't failed no drug test, nothing like that. Giving up a fifth-round pick in exchange for Gordon could be Belichick's greatest heist since the Randy Moss trade. That's what a lot of people are saying. It could be, it has the potential to be on par with the Randy Moss trade if Josh Gordon is still as good as we think he could be. So, if he not, he gonna be gone. Belichick gonna cut his ass real quick, like he cut. Apparently, 27 wide receivers has come through since the beginning of the training camp till now, and they don't have a lot. And that's why they went and got Josh Gordon, right? At this point, it's up to Josh Gordon to make sure he stays in New England, right? So it seems unlikely that Gordon plays on Sunday Night Football against the Lions this week, given the amount of time he has to accumulate to his new team and playbook. But we'll have to wait and see about that, because as they were stating on the sports talk shows, they could give him, Mangini was saying, is they could give Gordon specific packages and specific routes and things to run. Bring him on the field, run him deep, or whatever. It's Brady, it's Belichick, offensive coordinator, all the things. They can figure that out, right? Hey, go deep, Nick. Hey, Nick, go deep, Nick. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to hang this bitch up, go deep, Nick. Or, hey, get out there and put you on the same side as Grunt. You go deep, I want you to open Grunt, or Grunt going to open you up. Either way, one of you motherfuckers is scoring. They playing the Lions. The Lions ain't good, and Lions don't have a good defense. So, shit, put them out there. Now, the thing that I found interesting about the Josh Gordon trade is that Josh Gordon is on a team after being unreliable as far as his availability, because we all know the greatest ability an athlete can have is availability, right? If your ass ain't available, then you ain't good, right? We can't count it if you ain't available, right? So the greatest ability a wide receiver or any sports athlete can have is availability. Now, Josh Gordon's availability has been waning, has waned completely over the last 4 years. I think they say he's only played 12 games in the last 4 years. So 12 games in the last 4 years. But his ability and his age is what keeps him in the league. Now, Dez Bryant, a lot of shit he's been doing on Twitter and some of the other things has kept him out of the league. I just find it interesting that Dez Bryant don't have a job. But Josh Gordon does have a job, because Josh Gordon is more unreliable than Dez Bryant. Yeah, Dez Bryant talks a lot of shit. Dez Bryant's extra sensitive, and he's been capping hard lately. I'm talking about Dez Bryant been capping harder than a bitch. But at the same time, Dez Bryant is reliable, and you know when he out on that field, he's going to give you 100%. He may not be as good as everybody, as good as he used to be, but when he out on that field, he's going to give you his 100%. But for right now, Dez Bryant plays for the same team that I play for, and Josh Gordon is a New England Patriot, which is very interesting. I didn't see that one coming, but you know I wanted Josh Gordon to go to the Cowboys, but once again, Cowboys on that fuck shit, so yay, Cowboys. Fuck you, Cowboys. That's where I'm at this year. No, Cowboys is my team, but fuck you, Cowboys. So cognitive business at its best when it comes to watching the Dallas Cowboys. When they do something good, yay, Cowboys, but fuck y'all, Cowboys. So, damn, Jerry Jones, you missed out on this. Man, we missed out on Earl Thomas, Sammy Watkins, and Josh Gordon down there in Dallas. All of that, B. Earl, but especially, I wasn't high on that Sammy Watkins. Because, hey, we got Tavon Austin, so we don't need Sammy Watkins. I mean, that's about the same thing, right? Tavon, you know, because Sammy Watkins ain't really showed out in the league like he did at Clemson. But we missed out, especially on Earl Thomas and Josh Gordon down there in Dallas. God damn. But we're going to see what happened with Josh Gordon. If everything works out, him and Tom and Grunt and all the boys, they're going to ball out, especially Edelman comes back week 4. That'll take a lot more pressure off him. And Brady is comfortable with Grunt and Edelman. And the Patriots are going to improve because, you know, they lost to Jacksonville this past Sunday. I'm going to talk about that more. But because they were literally able to double-team Grunt and take him out the game, and Dorsett and the other boys didn't really show up. So you're going to get Gordon in week 3, possibly. But if not, you get Gordon in week 4 along with Edelman in week 4, which will improve New England's offense significantly. Especially if Josh Gordon bringing his A game, if he's still a baller. Ooh, woo. The numbers going to be sick, or they could be sick, if Josh Gordon is on his shit. So we're gonna see about that. We're going to keep our eye on that. So more football news, college football news. Urban Meyer is back from suspension, and he's fielding more questions about domestic violence. And, you know, yeah. In a small auditorium Monday, Ohio State football coach Urban Meyer strolled to a podium and fielded questions about credibility, domestic violence, and former receiver coach Zach Smith. In the 6 weeks since Meyer was suspended by the university, the coach has apologized. And let's just make that clear. He wasn't suspended for 6 weeks. He was suspended for three games, but it's been 6 weeks since the suspension has been levied, right? He re-apologized and clarified statements after each of his additions raised new concerns among critics, because people like, he's still lying. Like, we've, basically people are saying that what they learned through this whole process, every time he talked, that he still be lying about shit. So they find more liars, more lies and more layers to the lie, right? So, Meyer rejoined the team this week after serving a suspension related to his handling of allegations against Smith, but he's still missing points in this explanation, because that bitch don't care. He ain't missing points. Urban Meyer don't give a fuck about that shit. Urban Meyer like, man, I give a fuck about that girl, man. That's my homeboy, man. Y'all sitting there trying to make the man be moral when the man ain't moral. Stop that shit. A restraining order filed against Smith by ex-wife Courtney Smith led to the assistant's firing and a troubling pattern of domestic violence and workplace misconduct emerged as more information came to the surface. Ohio State's Board of Trustees interviewed forming an independent working group to investigate Meyer. Based on their findings, university trustees decided to suspend Meyer for failing to take sufficient management action related to Zach Smith's misconduct. But that decision didn't sit well with everyone. One trustee, Jeffrey Wadsworth, chose to resign because he felt the punishment was too lenient. Hey, I'm with Jeffrey. I ain't mad at you, Jeffrey. I ain't mad at it. Upon his return Monday, Meyer gave more bullshit, right? Bullshit out. But he also went to great lengths establishing extenuating circumstances for why he didn't act sooner. He explained after hearing about police investigating Smith in 2015, he and athletic director Gene Smith monitored development. As I was receiving updates as it became close to the conclusion, what I was hearing back from law enforcement is that this was not domestic violence, Meyer said. That this was a very nasty divorce, child custody issues involved, but it was not domestic violence. Meyer reiterated this point over and over again, but the working group's report found fault with Meyer and Smith's decision, saying they relied too heavily on law enforcement. Instead, the report says they should have alerted more university authorities so an internal investigation could commence. Lead investigator Mary Jo White made the point specifically while announcing Meyer and Smith's suspension last month. In domestic violence context especially, there are many cases in which abuse takes place, but there are no arrests or criminal prosecution, White said. And so simply relying on law enforcement to take action in the face of such allegations is not, in our view, an adequate response. Throughout his suspension, Meyer insisted he did not turn a blind eye to domestic violence, and he still resists the characterization, which is bullshit and lie. Asked by one reporter if he believed that Courtney Smith was ever a victim of domestic violence, Meyer said, "I can only rely on what information I received from the experts." And that was one of his go-tos. "I can only rely on the information I received from experts." Bitch, you lying. You don't give a fuck about Courtney. You ain't give a fuck about that shit. You trying to protect your homeboy. On Twitter shortly before Monday's press conference, Meyer wrote, "I will always be sorry for what Courtney Smith and her family have gone through." And he added, I do not, never have, and never will condone domestic violence." Yes, you do, bitch. You've been condoning that shit since you found out in the early 2000s or the late 2000s. Central to domestic violence claims are text messages. Courtney Smith shared photos of a 2015 incident with Shelly Meyer, and the working group report cast doubt on Urban Meyer and Shelly Meyer's claims they never spoke about the allegations. Meyer heard about a similar incident between Zach and Courtney Smith in 2009 while he was coaching in Florida. The independent report shows Meyer and his wife, Shelly, doubted Courtney Smith's account of what happened. But the website 11 Warriors recently published photos from the Gainesville Police Department showing Courtney Smith was with an apparent black eye after the episode. "Character is very important," Meyer said of his hiring of Zach Smith. He justified the decision, noting two other schools gave him glowing recommendations. All right, whatever. "When I was hiring him, I believe I hired a I hired the right guy, Myers said. In hindsight, now I look back with all these other issues that took place during that time period, I did not hire the right guy. Shut up, bitch. You knew you been knowing that. You just looking out for your home. What? The other issues. The report, the Ohio State report found included a trip to a strip club while recruiting. I told y'all about that. Drug abuse and having a sexual relationship with the secretary on the football staff. Running through a timeline leading to Smith's firing, Myers seemed more upset that he first learned of the events from the police rather than Smith himself. Well, Myers, how somebody on your staff get arrested and you don't find that? Come on, Irv. When Myers describes where he went wrong, he emphasizes his tendency to give second chances, completely setting aside the matter of domestic violence. Bitch, you get 10th chances. I saw a guy with work-related issues that had two children and an ex-wife that he needed to support the way a man's supposed to support them, Myers said. And I went, I was suspended for the fact that I went too far trying to help a guy with these work-related issues. There's also a question of Myers' text message. When he turned his phone over to university authorities, it displayed no messages older than a year. Myers insists that he did not delete messages or set his phone to automatically delete them. Then why you ain't got no messages older than a year, bitch? But the working group report notes that he spoke with administrators about how to alter his phone setting to discard messages a year or older. So Myers just keep getting caught in lies. So I don't need no explanations on this. Urban Meyer, fuckboy. He's a national football of America. He's a liar. He's a bitch. He's doing all that, and he's back on the field to coach his team this Saturday to victory. So, Jeffrey Wadsworth, I don't blame you for quitting the trustees after that lame ass 3-game so fast suspension. His ass should have been fired. Fuck you, Urban Meyer. Fuck you. All right, so Jimmy Butler want to be traded. He want to be traded from the Minnesota Timberwolves. He don't like Andrew Wiggins, and he don't like Karl Anthony Towns, from reports. According to reports, All-Star swingman Jimmy Butler is reportedly seeking a trade from the Minnesota Timberwolves. Per the Athletics, Sham Charania and John, I ain't even finna try to say this boy's name, Krasinski. Butler has given the Timberwolves a list of 1 to 3 teams with which he's open to sign the contract extension. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, it's the Brooklyn Nets, the Clippers, and the Knicks. Right? So those are the preferred destinations. And the Clippers are reportedly the leading team that he want to go to. Minnesota has no interest in trading him, what Wojnarowski reports. In addition, Butler may have given the Wolves a preferred date by which he liked to be traded, and I think that date was Monday. Yeah. Butler told Thibodeau, Minnesota's president of basketball operations and coach, that he would like to be traded before, according to Timberwolves Media Day on Monday, prefers the possibility of the Clippers as well as New York Knicks. Lead sources said. Butler told the Timberwolves that he planned to lead the franchise of free agency next summer, sources said. The Brooklyn Nets' ability to sign 2 max free agents in the summer will keep them in consideration for Butler, but he has prioritized the Clippers and Knicks over them, lead sources said. Thibodeau's initial reaction to the trade request was that he wanted to win now, and trading Butler will almost assuredly bring back a package that would diminish Timberwolves' chances of in short term, lead sources said. The Star Tribune's Chris Hine report that the Wolves owner Glenn Taylor would not comment on Butler's trade when reached on Monday. Additionally, Hine reports that neither Butler's agent Bernie Lee nor Wolves coach Tom Thibodeau were able to comment on the topic either. So, and they said basically he's having issues with Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. Let me read this. Butler holds a player option on his contract next season, but is widely expected he will opt out and join a 2019 free agent market that many expect to be robust. In addition, Minnesota's all-star big man Karl Anthony Towns is in his final year of his contract. Towns can sign an extension on by October 15th, or he too can be a free agent next summer. A report circulated in the offseason that Butler was frustrated with the nonchalant attitudes of Towns and Andrew Wiggins. Next season, Wiggins will begin playing on his maximum contract, 2018-2019, with the $25 million plus salary that will account for more than 20% of the team's cap and push Timberwolves close to the luxury tax threshold. And Andrew Wiggins has not lived up to expectations. So he was expected to be like a first, second option. He's like a third, maybe fourth, fifth option. So I ain't mad at Butler for, if he's saying these boys ain't trying to win, getting up out of there, it is what it is, his business, man. But, you know, that's what's going on with Jimmy Butler. And we're going to keep our eye on that as well to see what the hell Jimmy Butler got going on. See if he actually gets traded, see if shit get worked out. See if he really think that Andrew Wiggins and Carl Anthony Towns ain't talking about nothing on that court and he don't feel like he can win with them boys. Because I thought they had a pretty good trio with Jamal Crawford coming off the bench, but Jimmy Butler said, fuck this shit. I ain't trying to fuck these boys. These boys ain't talking about nothing. These boys don't want to win. They said Carl Anthony Towns, it's reported that Carl Anthony Towns is more, he's more concerned with stats than winning. So Jimmy Butler like, well, be concerned catching these nuts in your mouth because I'm out of here. So, man, I ain't mad at Jimmy for that. I ain't mad at Jimmy for trying to get out of a situation where he can see that it's not going to really go anywhere. Because I don't really see Minnesota as a contender in the West, but hey, other people do. I don't. So, Godspeed to you, Jimmy Butler. Godspeed. So let's talk some football. Week 2 of the NFL. So, Monday Night Football. Yeah, was the Seattle Seahawks versus the Chicago Bears, and we got to see Khalil Mack again. Khalil Mack is a baller. Let's just remember that. Khalil Mack is a baller. Had him a strip sack. He put a lot of pressure on Russell Wilson. So, and the Bears defense looked good. Bears beat the Seahawks 24-17 on Monday night. Russell Wilson threw for 226 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. Penny, their running back for the Seahawks, had 10 carries, 30 yards. Tyler Lockett had 5 receptions, 60 yards and a touchdown for the Bears. Mitchell Trubisky threw for 200 yards, had 2 touchdowns and 2 picks. J. Howard had 14 carries, 35 yards, and Allen Robinson had 10 receptions for 83 yards. And Chicago's victory, Chicago is 1-1. Seahawks are 0-2. The Panthers lost to the Falcons 24-31 in a division game, an early division game, 24-31. And Cam Newton threw for 335 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 pick. Cam Newton also had 5 carries, 42 yards. Christian McCaffrey had 14 receptions, 102 yards. Matt Ryan threw for 227 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. Tavon Coleman, probably said that man name wrong, but Coleman had 16 carries, 107 yards. And Julio Jones had 5 receptions for 64 yards, but the Falcons still get that. The another division matchup, the Falcons are 1-1, the Panthers are 1-1. Another division matchup, so that was the NFC South, so we got an AFC South matchup, which is the Houston Texans over the Tennessee Titans. And the Tennessee Titans pulled out a 20-17 victory. Deshaun Watson had 310 yards passing, 2 touchdowns and 1 pick. Lamar Miller had 14 catches, 68 yards. And Fuller had 8 receptions, 113 yards and 1 touchdown. Blaine Gabbert threw for 117 yards in the touchdown. Henry had 18 carries for 56. Blaine Gabbert. Yeah, Blaine Gabbert had that. Derrick Henry had 18 carries, 56 yards. And Crookshank, the receiver, had 1 reception, 66 yards, and a touchdown. The Colts beat the Redskins 21-9. Hold on. The Titans are 1-1, and the Texans are 0-2. So the Colts beat the Redskins 21-9. The Colts are 1-1. The Redskins are 1-1. Andrew Luck had 179 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. Wilkins had 10 carries, 61 yards. T.Y. Hilton had 7 receptions, 83 yards and a touchdown. Alex Smith he threw for 29 yards, no touchdown, no pick. Crowder had 2 carries, 29 yards. Chris Thompson had 13 receptions for 92 yards. These running backs been getting the ball. Colts 1-1, Redskins 1-1. The Chiefs met the Steelers, and the Steelers beat them. No, excuse me, the Steelers lost to the Chiefs 42-37, and Patrick Mahomes is playing lights out these first two games. People are talking about Patrick Mahomes to possibly be the league MVP after two games because he has like 10 touchdown passes already because he threw 6 touchdown passes in this game. But it's two games that the season happened. But that offense is very, 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 very explosive. So this is the second week in a row they put up like over 35 points. So Mahomes had 326 yards, 6 touchdowns. Kareem Hunt had 18 carries, 75 yards. Travis Kelce had 7 catches, 109 yards, 2 touchdowns. Big Ben threw for 452 yards, 3 touchdowns. Connor had 8 carries for 17 yards and a touchdown. And James had 5 receptions, 138 yards, and a touchdown. The Eagles met the Buccaneers, and there was another shootout, and goddamn Ryan Fitzpatrick got that big bowling. Early in the game, early first quarter, first drive, he had a nice, like, 70 yards to DeSean Jackson. It's a nice touchdown, so. Fitzpatrick got that ball. So the question is, when Jameis Winston come back, will he actually be starting or do the Bucs have a quarterback controversy? We will see. But the Bucs beat the Eagles 27-21. The Bucs are 2-0. The Eagles are 1-1. So Nick Foles had 334 yards, passing, 1 touchdown. Corey Clement had 6 carries, 30 yards and a touchdown. Zach Ertz had 11 yards, 94 yards and a touchdown. Ryan Fitzpatrick in the win at 402 yards, 4 touchdowns and 1 pick. Barber had 16 carries, 22 yards. DeSean Jackson had 4 receptions, 129 yards, and a touchdown. The Dolphins and the Jets in the NFC, in the AFC East matchup, Dolphins won 20-12. Dolphins are 2-0, the Jets are 1-1. Ryan Tannehill had 168 yards, 2 touchdowns. Drake had 11 carries, 53 yards, and a touchdown. Wilson had 3 receptions, 37 yards, and 1 touchdown. Sam Darnold had 334 yards passing, 1 touchdown, 2 picks. Isaiah Crowell had 12 carries, 35 yards. And Inunua had 7 receptions and 92 yards. So we also had the Chargers versus the Bills in the game where Vontae David quit at halftime. The score was 28-6 at halftime when he quit. But the final score was 31-20. Chargers are 1-1. The Bills are 0-2. Phillip Rivers threw for 256 yards, 3 touchdowns. A. Elker had 11 carries, 77 yards. Keenan Allen had 6 receptions, 67 yards. Josh Allen had 245 yards passing, 1 touchdown, 2 picks. LeSean McCoy had 9 carries, 39 yards. Jones had 2 receptions, 63 yards. The Lions met the 49ers. The Lions are 0-2, 49ers 1-1. The score was 30-27 in the 49ers victory. So Matthew Stafford had 347 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Johnson had 8 receptions, 43 yards. Golden Tate had 7 receptions, 79 yards. 7 receptions, 109 yards. Jimmy Garoppolo had 206 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. Matt Barelia, had 11 carries, 138 yards, 1 touchdown. Pierre Garçon had 4 receptions and 57 yards. The Browns met the Saints. The Browns they have 1 loss and 1 tie. The Saints have 1 win and 1 loss. So 1-1, 0-1-1. And the Saints won 21-18. Tyrod Taylor had 246 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. Carlos Hyde had 16 carries, 43 yards, touchdown. Callaway had 3 receptions. Antonio Callaway, who from the University of Florida, had 3 receptions, 81 yards, 1 touchdown. Drew Brees had 243 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. Alvin Kamara had 13 attempts, 46 yards. And Thomas had 12 receptions, 86 yards, 2 touchdowns. The Vikings met the Packers in a NFC North matchup, right? And the Vikings are 1-0-1, 1 win, and 1 tie. The Packers are 1-0-1 because this game actually ended in a tie. So the second week in a row we have a tie. This game was 29-29 between the Chargers and the Vikings. Kirk Cousins had 425 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick. Dalvin Cook had 10 carries, 38 yards. Thielen had 12 receptions, 131 yards, 1 touchdown. Shout out to Thielen, shout out to Cook. Aaron Rodgers had 281 yards, 1 touchdown. Williams had 16 carries, 59 yards. Jimmy Graham had 6 receptions, 95 yards. The Browns, oh, I said that, my bad. The Cardinals met the Rams in a NFC West matchup. And the Cardinals lost to the Rams 34-0. Cardinals are hot trash, seem to be right now. Sam Bradford had 90 yards passing, 1 pick. David Johnson had 13 carries, 48 yards. Fitzgerald had 3 receptions, 28 yards. Jared Goff for the Rams had 354 yards passing, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. Brown had 12 carries, 46 yards. Brandon Cooks had 7 receptions, 159 yards. So, in the AFC West matchup between the Raiders and the Broncos beat the Raiders 19-20. David Carr had 288 yards passing, 1 touchdown. Marshawn Lynch had 18 carries, 65 yards, and touchdown. Amari Cooper had 10 receptions, 116 yards. Case Keenum had 222 yards passing, 1 pick. Lindsey had 14 carries, 107 yards. Rushing, Emmanuel Sanders had 4 receptions, 96 yards. The Patriots met the Jaguars. The Patriots lost to the Jaguars 31-20. Patriots are 1-1, Jaguars 2-0. Tom Brady had 234 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. Sonny Michel had 10 attempts for 34 yards. White had 7 receptions, 73 yards. Blake Bortles threw for 377 yards, 4 touchdowns and 1 pick. T.J. Yeldon had 10 attempts, 58 yards. Cole had 7 receptions, 116 yards and 1 touchdown. And then in the NFC East matchup, Cowboys beat the Giants 20-13. Yay, Cowboys. Fuck you, Cowboys. Cowboys 1-1, Giants 0-2. Eli Manning, 279 yards passing, 1 touchdown. Saquon Barkley, 11 attempts, 28 yards. But Saquon Barkley also had 14 receptions for 80 yards. Dak Prescott had 160 yards passing, 1 touchdown. Ezekiel Elliott, 17 carries, 78 yards in the pass, and a touchdown. Tavon Austin, 2 receptions, 79 yards. And 1 touchdown. The Ravens met the Bengals in the NFC in the AFC North matchup, and the Bengals beat the Ravens 34-23. The Ravens are 1-1. The Bengals are 2-0. Joe Flacco had 376 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. Collins had 9 carries, 35 yards. Brown 4 receptions, 92 yards and touchdown for the Bengals. Andy Dalton 265 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. Mixon had 21 carries, 84 yards. And Boyd had 6 receptions, 91 yards, and 1 touchdown. So that's a recap of week 2 in the NFL. And, of course, you're going to have your week 3 update soon. Get to some more drama, right? Tennis umpires thinking about boycotting Serena Williams because they don't like what happened at the U.S. Open, which is straight bullshit because I gave you a whole clip of men flipping out on umpires, and umpires never thought of doing this. But once again, Serena Williams, white people treating you like shit and doing fuck shit to you, but she loves her white men. So the Serena Williams U.S. Open controversy rages on. After Serena Williams lost in the final to Naomi Osaka on Saturday, all anyone could talk about was Williams' altercation with umpire Carlos Ramos that led to her being fined $17,000. See, that was bullshit, too. She was fined all that shit. Williams received warnings for receiving coaching and breaking a racket before she was docked the game for calling Ramos a thief. In the fallout of the incident, the U.S. Tennis Association and Women's Tennis Association both came out in support of Williams. The USTA, the U.S. Women's Tennis, the U.S. Tennis Association, praised Williams for her conduct after the match, whereas the Women's Tennis Association CEO Steve Simon said that there should be no difference in the standards of tolerance provided to the emotions expressed by men and women, which is fucking true. In response, umpires are reportedly threatening to boycott Williams' matches as they feel that Ramos is being unfairly criticized for his conduct during the match. According to the Times of London, retired umpire Richard Ings confirmed to ESPN that umpires feel Ramos is being vilified. Fuck Ramos, fuck Ings, and them umpires. What Ramos did was some fuck shit. But Serena still like them. The umpire fraternity is thoroughly disturbed at being abandoned by the WTA, Ings said on Tuesday via ESPN. They are all fearful that they could be the next Ramos. They feel that no one has their back when they have to make unpopular calls. Man, he made a fucked up shit. He made fucked up calls and shit. But Serena Williams has the right and the ability to protect herself. So, fuck you, Ing. Simon also addressed the possibility of making coaching legal, saying that we also think the issue of coaching needs to be addressed and should be allowed across the sport. The WTA supports coaching through its own court coaching rule, but further review is needed. The International Tennis Federation did wholeheartedly back Ramos, saying in its statement that Carlos Ramos is one of the most experienced and respected umpires in tennis. But he fucked up, though. Mr. Ramos' decision were in accordance with the relevant rules, and we're reaffirmed by the U.S. Open's decision to fine Serena Williams for the three offenses. Yeah. But like I say, you know, Serena, man, the white folks keep coming at you, man. The white folks keep coming at you. Hopefully the white dudes you married out there to protect you. They keep coming at you. Serena and Venus, still like them white. So these umpires say they might boycott the game because Ramos got his feelings hurt because Ramos did some fuck shit. International Fuckboy Union. Remember I told y'all about the International Fuckboy Union? Yeah, these are members of the International Fuckboy Union. So, yeah. I don't like this happening to Serena. I don't. You know, I don't like it happening to Serena. So I'm going to speak out about it. Serena still like him. So, in further tennis news with Serena and Venus this time, motherfuckers got to issue an apology. So, Australian Football Club issues apology after players dressed in blackface at Serena and Venus. So, dudes, you got men folk who dressed up, they darkened their skin all the way, and they dressing, and they supposedly are Venus and Serena. So, fuck them. Pussy boys. Fuck them pussy boys, man. Soft ass crack, man. Racism is still alive. They ain't even silly. Some Australians, they have no clue what is considered racist. This Mad Monday costume is clearly racist, and I'm a person who's fed up with today's over-the-top political correctness. Francis Gonzalez sent out this tweet of these fuck boys dressed as Venus and Serena. And there's another somebody in the middle that's dressed as some black people. But white folk know what they be doing. And just because they're foreign, don't give them no excuse. Remember, racism started outside of America and came into America. These crackers know what they're doing. An Australian Rules Football Club and three players have apologized. Fuck y'all apologies, keep y'all apologies, but no, Serena should probably accept it, though. Unreservedly, after they were criticized for a racist incident in which they dressed in blackface as Serena and Venus Williams for Mad Monday, a season-ending celebration. Mad Monday can kiss my dickhole, and the players can kiss my dickhole. Mitch Stanley, fuck you. Match Chamberlain, fuck you, dressed as the Williams sisters. And Bo Grundy, and then give me the rest of the art. Is it giving me the rest of this? I don't know what that's called. But Bo Grundy dressed as another player. I have no idea. I have no idea what the hell just happened to this article I'm reading. I'm literally in the middle of reading an article. Want to go and do what it wants to do. But those dudes dressed as Serena and Venus in blackface, and now they are sorry about it. Now they want to apologize about it because apparently they had no idea that that was racist. Yeah. All right. Oh, so the other player that they were supposed to be dressed up as was a Kenyan-born football player, soccer player named Alir, as part of their Mad Monday. So, man, this shit ain't funny, though. Shit ain't funny. So now they are apologizing. The club and the players are apologizing because apparently they had no idea that that was racist. Yeah, right. The club went on. Well, the players concerned have acknowledged that what they did was completely and utterly unacceptable and would like to apologize unreservedly for their lack of judgment. Suck dick, boy. Suck. So they say they grossly exaggerated her weight, hips, and nose and depicted her as an angry baby. Oh yeah, it was a newspaper did that. So you know, it was an article in the newspaper where they had exaggerated features of Serena and depicting her as an angry baby. That's what that last picture was talking about. But I'm looking at this picture, man. Fuck you, crack. Fuck all y'all, crack. Cross-dressing. Bitch, y'all, cross-dressers should beat y'all ass for that. Dressing up like women. Man, fuck y'all, man. Fuck y'all, man. Y'all like to try to tell people that racism ain't real. It's all the people's mind and all these things. These boys know what they're doing. These boys know what they're doing. They have no respect for Serena, but yet, Serena's still like the one. I don't know, man. So this is what's going on. So hopefully Serena and them don't accept their apologies, but knowing them, they will. If it's me, y'all white boys can kiss, dick, and jump off a bridge, set yourselves on fire. Fuck y'all. This racist shit, it ain't cute. But we know why y'all crackers do it. We know y'all crackers do it because y'all feel threatened. Y'all feel threatened. That's why y'all crackers do this racist shit that y'all do. So kiss dick, eat ass, eat shit, and go to hell. All three of you fuck. Weekly rant time. Time for the weekly rant. Time for the weekly rant. That was my warm-up on them fuck boys. International fuck boys. Now we're back to the National Fuck Boys of America. So Texas superintendent says you can't count on black QB. And East Texas school superintendent, he's superintendent now. We can't count on superintendents. An East Texas school superintendent who wrote, "You can't count on a black quarterback," in the comment section of an outline of an online news article says he thought it was a private message. Because he said what he meant. Lynn Redden is superintendent of Ona Lasaka Independent School District in the Piney Woods, about 75 miles north of Houston. In his post on the Houston Chronicle's website, Redden referred to the last play of Sunday's game in which Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson held the ball as time expired. Later Tuesday, the school district posted a notice on its website that the school board will have a special meeting on Saturday to discuss Redden's contract. The school board also released a statement to the Chronicle that read, Onslaka ISD regrets that an inappropriate comment has been attributed to the district superintendent, that the OISD does not condone negative comments or actions against any race. The district values every individual, and therefore the district will take the appropriate measures to address the situation expeditiously and completely. He used one of them Joe Clark words, expeditiously. In an interview with the Chronicle, Redden said he regrets posting the comment. No, the fuck he don't. He regrets getting caught. Stop apologizing for what you did. Stop saying you regret what you did. You regret getting caught. You're sorry for getting caught, Redden. You ain't sorry for saying it because you said what you meant. That's why you said you thought it was private, because you was a bitch. Right? He regret posting the comment. He said he thought it was a private message. So you just made everything you just said obsolete, you fuck boy, and deleted it as soon as he realized it was public. If you put shit up there that you can stand behind, you ain't got to worry about deleting shit. Because you was a bitch. That's why, Redden. Redden said that he based the comment on what he called the limited success of black quarterbacks in the NFL. Last I checked, black quarterbacks for a while were not allowed to play quarterback, especially if you could run. So black quarterbacks have not had the same opportunities to play quarterback as white quarterbacks, but we see when you do give black quarterbacks the opportunities to play, they shine and they ball out. And black quarterbacks do win Super Bowls. We got Doug Williams. We got Russell Wilson. And we will have more black quarterbacks who have Super Bowl rings if black quarterbacks were allowed earlier in the years of football to play quarterback and were not systematically left out of the quarterback position. So there hasn't been the same, if you take the same amount of white people who are able to play quarterback and give black people that same opportunity, you have way more black people who are Super Bowl champions, all-time NFL passers, all that shit. Black players have never had opportunities. So Redden, fuck you and everything you stand for. And I hope your ass get fired like we got that cracker here fired who pulled the gun on them people. Hope they fire your ass, and I hope your life fall to shit and to pieces for that dumb shit. I just don't think black quarterbacks can do it. Because they had limited success. Like, I had limited success in the bedroom with my wife. That's why she cheating on me with one of them Negroes. That's the source of Redden's anger. He just found out that his wife cheating on him with a black dude who actually good in bed because he ain't good in bed. I ain't hitting on nothing in the bedroom, so my wife don't like me. And hell, my first name is Lynn, so you know I ain't hitting on shit because I'm a grown man whose name is Lynn who hides behind comments on websites. And when I get found out, I delete my comments and then try to act like I didn't say it or don't even own up to it. Redden, you said what you meant. You said what you felt. You do not think black quarterbacks can cut the mustard. And you were dumb enough to say it on a public forum. See, that's one thing about a lot of these races. They're stupid. So you got to remember, you got real white folk. You got white supremacists. You got rednecks, racists. This is all classifications. He's like a racist. Redneck, racist, country motherfucker. He ain't no real white folk, white supremacist. He don't have no real power, even though he's in a position of power as a school superintendent over a school district. He has power to fuck up black people, black kids' life. So he got a little bit of the elements of real white folk, but he ain't no real white folk. Donald Trump, real white folk. Donald Trump can do everything wrong and still get what he wants. Because he real white folk and he got the means to back it up. But Lynn Redden, bitch boy of the week. Black quarterbacks can't get the job done. No, bitch, you can't get the job done. That's why your punk ass should be getting fired. Wow. But I've been telling y'all about these white folk. These white folk don't like us. They don't like us. If they could do it without being ashamed in front of the whole world, they would wipe all of us out if they didn't have a fear of being ashamed by the world. So, Lynn Redden, you can suck a dick that has every STD that man has ever had and every disease that man ever had on it. You can suck that dick and die. How about that? Your motherfucking parents named you Lynn. Fuck you. Suck a diseased dick and die, Lynn. Fuck. Soft ass. Old ass name Lynn. Well, my name is Lynn. Fuck you, Lynn. How about that? So second part of my weekly rant is going at a bitch boy named Drake Davis, who's a former football player of LSU, who was arrested and charged with possession of pornography, and he has a history of domestic violence. Prosecutors have added criminal charges of possession of child pornography against former LSU wide receiver Drake Davis, who's a bitch boy, who was arrested Sunday morning for the second time in the past month after his ex-girlfriend accused him of domestic battery. East Baton Rouge District Attorney Hilar Moore III told a Baton Rouge advocate that new charges were added Tuesday after investigators found two videos on his cell phone that they concluded were child pornography. They were beating off the kids. Investigators have obtained a search warrant for his cell phone as a part of their investigation into the domestic abuse allegation. Davis's attorney told the advocate on Monday that her client has submitted his resignation from LSU or no longer be enrolled as a student. Well, bitch, you're still getting arrested. That's not going to stop your ass from getting arrested. You can't run from the school. You fucking pedophile, child molester. Davis, who was a junior, was arrested on the felony second-degree battery charge August 17th after his former girlfriend alleged that he committed battery on her on four occasions between May 2017 and June 2018, according to an arrest warrant. The woman told police that Davis punched her hard enough to fracture one of her ribs in one incident, began to choke her in another, and later texted that he might kill her. The warrant says police obtained the text and photos of bruising. He was arrested again Sunday. He was arrested again Sunday and charged with two counts of battery of a dating partner and two counts of violating a protection order after the woman alleged Davis attacked her during an argument on August 26th. Davis, she was a bitch and a half. LSU police also received information from a witness that another battery occurred between Davis and the victim on Saturday around 2 a.m., in which the woman was hit in the left eye several times. Davis, who had been indefinitely suspended from the football team, had been ordered to have no contact with the ex-girlfriend and LSU student. And now he's arrested on child pornography charges. So, Drake Davis, not only do you beat women, but you're a pedophile. So you're all around. Davis, you might get the award for Fuck Boy of the Year. Right now, Drake Davis, you're in the lead in the winning position for being Fuck Boy of the Year. So you think it's cool to beat on women, and you think it's cool to have child pornography. I bet you can't whoop nobody ass that's a dude. I bet you won't try. You don't even try dudes. You was a bitch, man. You need to have your ass arrested. You need to be corrected. You need to be fucked up, and you need to go to counseling, because you're not going to let your ass come back out into the society without being corrected, having corrective action, corrective behavior, because we're going to have to kill you, Drake Davis. We're going to have to fuck around to kill you, man. Who the fuck you think you is putting your hands on somebody? That's not how you deal with issues. That's not how you deal with disagreements or being angry at somebody. My name is Drake Davis. I play football, so I'm going to hit you. And I got pictures of your little sister in my phone that I be beating off my little dingling to. You was a bitch in the half, Drake Davis. Oh, man, you football of the year. You in the league football of the year right now. It's September. It's September, and you are definitely in the league for football. You shot yourself right to the top of the chart. You were number one hit, Drake Davis. No pun intended. You was a bitch, Drake Davis. So you beat women, and you got child pornography in your phone. So what? I mean, where in your mind did you think this was okay? Where in your mind did you think this was okay? Who are your mentors? Who are you around? Who's teaching you this shit? Where did you learn this? Did you grow up like this? Are you an unstable motherfucker? Because you definitely is a bitch. Definitely a bitch. Because you go around putting your hands on people. You think it's cool to put your hands on people. Come on, cuz. You got to do better than that, man. You have to do better than that. Who raised you, bruh? Who raised you? Fuck is you talking about? Fuck is you got going on, man? What's wrong with your life? What's wrong with everything about you? Why are you such a hoe? Why do you have child pornography in your phone? Why are you putting your hands on women? Why do you think this shit is okay? Why do you exist? Why did your parents have sex and have you? All those questions I got for you, Drake, baby. Oh, man, you need to be fucked up bad. You need to be fucked up bad. Once again, the culture of sexual and domestic violence still exists in America, and we don't fight hard enough to curb. Drake Davis is a poor example of what manhood is and manhood could be. I hope he get the right things to turn him around. But for right now, Drake Davis, I can't fuck with you. Somebody need to go. Somebody need to put their hands on Drake Davis. Drake, you got to get your ass whooped. I mean, ain't no other way around it, Drake. You know, I want you to get your counseling and shit, get rehabilitated, but somebody got to beat your ass. Somebody got to beat your ass. Ain't no way around that. Nah, you gotta get your ass whooped. You have to get your ass whooped, like, straight up. stop the presses, stop everything. Drake Davis, you got to get your ass whooped. That's all I got to say about that. Get your ass whooped, get arrested, do your time, get rehabilitated, and if you come back into society, hopefully you're a better person. If not, somebody will have to fuck you up. Somebody might have to wipe your ass out, man. You're a straight hoe, and you are the leading candidate for fuckboy of the year. And trust me, we're going to post that. We're going to post fuckboy of the year at the end of the year. Oh, we're handing out awards. Golly. So I told y'all this show was filled with drama. So it is what it is, man. But we working on changing this shit. That's why I talk about the shit that I talk about and the way that I talk about it. So I'm Joseph Ward. This is the Fix Fuck Sports Podcast. Drake Davis is Fuck Boy of the Year so far. And I am out of this motherfucker. So two fingers in the air. I just don't care. Peace. Catch y'all on Monday.
I am the greatest.
I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can turn it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. Best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from the Air Force. There's no one that